long story short, from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio, I'm Molly Ingram, in for Ebong Udama. In two Connecticut prisons, a new program aims to create more meaningful conversation between incarcerated men and correctional staff.
The pilot program they're launching is really an effort to have a team that will work with some of the more troublesome men who are jailed there.
That's Mark Pazniokas, the Connecticut Mirror's Capitol Bureau Chief and co-founder. He has more on what two of the state's prisons are doing to reimagine jail time in Connecticut. More to come after this.
Whether you order a grinder or a hero for lunch, spend summers on the Sound or on Jones Beach, and I'm not even going near the pizza debate, there's something for nutmeggers and Long Islanders alike on the WSHU podcast, After All Things. Get the news and culture from around the Long Island Sound in less than 15 minutes. Hosted by me, Sabrina Garone. Weeknights wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Mark. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
You write about a pilot program at Garner Correctional Institution in Newtown. What sets it apart from the typical American prison experience?
Well, Garner is where the incarcerated men who have mental health diagnoses are, by and large, concentrated there. They have a significant mental health unit. That is one of the reforms that the Connecticut Department of Correction had launched some years ago.
Why are they trying to make this change? What's been happening at state prisons that prompted the need?
Well, for one thing, in the last 5 years, the number of assaults on staff, fights among inmates have been going up. And the pilot program they're launching is really an effort to have a team that will work with some of the more troublesome men who are jailed there. And too much of the American prison, it operates like an Amazon warehouse. You know, the correction officers are moving men from place to place, from a cell to a mess hall to an appointment with a counselor. And there are relatively few personal interactions with these folks. And this program is an effort to take some of the principles of the prisons in Norway, which are considered to be the most progressive and humane prisons in the world, and adapt them for Connecticut purposes. There are a couple other states that are doing this. These are called resource teams. And the premise is pretty simple. It's really a little bit of therapy, which is mainly in the form of conversations, that's disguised as recreational activities. And this is both deceptively simple, but radical at the same time. It's radical in the sense that the modern prison is really designed to have an enforced distance between correction officers and the incarcerated. So this is something that California has done successfully. You have these teams that will take these men out of the cells. It can be a long walk within the prison yard. It can be playing cards. It's just interactions for a while. It's a way for the correction officers who are on the cell blocks to get a handle on what's going on with these folks who have various mental health diagnoses. The way it otherwise works is, if there's an incident of violence, you know, correction officers kind of put out the fire, and then there may be some interaction with the mental health professionals at this prison. But there's very little kind of in-between stuff about how you can get a read on the mood of some of the challenges for these men. So this is really designed for the benefit of staff and the incarcerated. The idea is you bring down stress levels. You make the prison safer for all concerned. The statistics for life expectancy for retired correction officers is really dismal. The life expectancy is age 59 compared to the mid-70s for men otherwise. And these are not all men. I mean, there is a mixed gender staff at Garner. But that is something that's been known for a long time. Connecticut has kind of gone in fits and starts about reform efforts. They did certain things during Governor Malloy's administration. He was very passionate about this at Cheshire Prison, they created a unit for 18 to 25-year-olds to really have it more of a therapeutic community of their routine would mimic living outside the walls, because 95% of the folks in prison, they're going to get out eventually. So the idea is, how can you best prepare them? And that was something that they launched, you know, 10 years ago or so. And I think most of the feedback is it's been successful in the sense that it's really brought down the number of violent incidents at that prison, because that age group had a disproportionate number of violent incidents, because the theory behind that unit is the part of our brain that controls executive function doesn't really mature until age 25. So that was one reform. But then Malloy left office, and then COVID came. And that kind of froze things. And, you know, the concern became, all right, how do we maintain health and security in these prisons? So this is something that is the result of trips to Norway by academics, by senior staff of the prison system, as well as some of the correction officers. They were only going to start this at York, which is the one prison for women in Connecticut. But there was an incident last summer in Garner where a correction officer was stabbed in the neck. And this kind of nudged them to say, let's broaden it. So they're launching this program at both York and at Garner. And they're really getting it underway this week in earnest.
An interesting point that you make is that this wasn't taken on because of a law or because of a mandate. They're doing this willingly, and that's made a difference.
That's absolutely made a difference. That's a great point. Too many of the reforms are forced on the prison system, and too many of the reforms are top-down. In other words, a commissioner or the commissioner's staff may agree to something, and then it's enforced on the staff to do. This is very different. The correction officers are brought in at the beginning. They are designing this program. They have a lot of autonomy about how to deal with these men. And that has made a difference in other states where there's a sense of ownership among the correction officers. You know, most of these officers, they get it. They understand that there are certain inmates that you need to understand. What are their triggers? Who, if you put them in a mess hall with, are they going to end up more than likely with a fight? And so this is an idea to give these officers, again, greater autonomy to design this program, to determine who they are going to work with. And that's worked very well in California. You know, one of the people I interviewed for this who'd gone on that trip, and not only was he impressed by what he saw in the prison, but he was even more impressed when he went out for drinks after work. And some of the officers' partners, spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends came, and they all spoke about how less stress that their loved ones have. And so that, you know, they're trying to create this virtuous circle of having, you know, COs who are less stressed, who have more job satisfaction, how that will reflect on the inmates and reflect back on the staff.
So what's the timeline like on this? Do we know how long they're going to go through with the, I assume it's like a trial period right now?
They're calling it a pilot, but they're launching it with the idea that they're going to stick with it. And it's a pilot in the sense of looking at it, looking what works, what doesn't work before they expand it. They would love to expand this to other prisons. There would be some, you know, finances involved. These are staff that are going to be taken away from other duties. It's not huge. It's 10 officers at Garner, for example. They will cover two shifts. But the feeling is, you know, if you can reduce violent incidents by 10, 20, 30%, this is going to be well worth it for everyone concerned.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you.
Long Story Short was hosted and produced by me, Molly Ingram. I'm in for Ebong Udama. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.